ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we're studying the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is entitled Contents of the Gita Summarized. Tonight's section is called Buddhi Yoga. We'll be studying the Sanskrit verses and the translations for verses 39 to 53. We can chant the Sanskrit together. So when you're ready, everybody say Hari Bol. We're on text number 39 of the second chapter. I am dedicating this class tonight to the mother of a devotee who passed away, and her name is Lilavati, and her funeral is Friday, and I promised the family I would dedicate tonight's class for her. Let's chant together text 39. Esha te vihita sankhe buddhir yoge trimang shrinu buddhya yukto yaya parata karma bandang prayasyasi. Thus far I have described to you this knowledge to you through analytical study. Now listen as I explain it in terms of working without fruitive results. O son of Pritha, when you act in such knowledge, you can free yourself from the bondage of work. So up to this point, since Krishna began his instructions with verse number 11, the subject has been Sankhya, an analytical study. Now, he is introducing a new topic, Buddhi Yoga, or another synonym, working without fruitive results. And what he says here, you can free yourself from the bondage of works, because unless we are doing this Buddhi Yoga or Bhakti Yoga, or karma yoga, then whatever actions we're doing will simply entangle us. What does that entanglement mean? You take another birth here in this material world. According to the Vedas, taking another material birth is another term of imprisonment. Whether you're Lord Brahma or the lowly microbe, we're all prisoners. The goal is to become free. The goal is liberation. The goal is to return, that's an important word, return back home, back to Godhead. Return means we were originally there. And the goal is to get back. Get back to where you once belonged. Get back. Yes. So, let us now go to text number 40. Let's chant together. Neha vikrama nashosti pratyavayo navidyate. Sopam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. In this endeavor, meaning this endeavor of buddhi, bhakti, or karma yoga, they're all synonymous, there is no loss or diminution. And a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. So, one thing here, buddhi yoga, bhakti yoga, karma yoga means we have to make an endeavor. It's not passive, but it's proactive. You use your senses to serve God. The next point here, even a little bit will go a long way. And as was mentioned here, the most dangerous type of fear, that is explained in the Ishopanishad. Prabhupada explains that. He says the most dangerous type of fear is not to get another human birth, but to get a birth lower than human. Animal, aquatic, bird, that's the most dangerous type of fear. At least in the human form, you can make progress in your path of liberation. At least if you're a human being, you can make progress for emancipation. But when you take a lower birth, now you have to wait hundreds of lifetimes just to get back to the human form. That's the most dangerous fear. Because once you enter the lower species, no telling what's going to happen. So one of the key lessons of Bhagavad Gita is to act in such a way that you get the best possible next life. But better than that, liberation, emancipation. That's the best. That's the one that is recommended in this Bhagavad Gita. Finish up your business, go back home, back to Godhead. You're doing it right now. You're doing the first step. It's called hearing, shravanam. This is where it all starts. Once you become serious about hearing, then you can make swift progress on the path back to Godhead. That path back to Godhead is called Upavarga Vartmani, the path of liberation. You have many freeways here in Los Angeles, going all over the place. But there's another freeway, the Upavarga freeway. The Upavarga freeway takes you back to Godhead. And you're doing the first item, hearing about God. The more you hear, the more your mind becomes inclined, then you become induced to do the other 8 items. But the first 2, hearing and chanting, they're the most important. By these 2 items alone, hearing and chanting, you can perfect your life. Our whole movement of Krishna consciousness is based on hearing and chanting. So let's take the opportunity. Everyone repeat after me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Rama. Hare Rama.
Rama.
Rama. Rama
Rama.
Rama. Hare Hare. Now, what is your name? Bhakti Stephen made me. What did you make me? Chamomile tea with lemon. Anything else in here? Okay. Thank you. This is good for the throat, I think. Yes? Thank you. May Krishna bless you for your service. Let us proceed to text number 41. Let's chant together. Vyavasayatmika budhir ekeha kuru nandana bahu shakha hyanantascha buddhayo vyavisayinam. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branched. So here, Krishna is telling us we have to have one pointed attention. You have to be focused. Somebody who is an athlete, like these million-dollar athletes, they have to be very focused to do their athletic feat. Anything that you want to accomplish in this material world, if you want to be really successful, you have to be focused. Say you're going to college. You can't be spending your evenings partying. You have to be studying. So Krishna is saying, if you want this liberation, if you want this freedom, then you have to have one pointed attention, resolute. Your aim is one. How to get out. That's all. I already said, we're all prisoners. What is your jumpsuit? Your body. Right? When somebody goes to prison, they give them a certain uniform. And if they escape, the first thing they want to do is get rid of that uniform, because if they see them, oh, hey, there he is, the guy who escaped. So this is our prison uniform. It's called a material body. We want to get free from that. So in order to do that, your aim has to be one. You have to have only one goal in life. Get me out of here. Say there was a fire right now. What would you do? Would you sit around and discuss, how did this fire start? Or would you put it out and run? What would you do? You put out the fire if you can. If not, get out. Later you can discuss, how did that fire start? Your first business, get out. Same way. Our business should be, I'm here in this material world, I don't like it, I want to get out. Therefore, let me be focused. Then Krishna says, but the intelligence of those who are not is many branched. In other words, this will be discussed later in this chapter. Sense gratification is the enemy that distracts us, diverts our attention. So when you're not fixed on going back to Godhead, the material energy, which we call as Maya, provides lots of allurements. Oh, you don't want to do that Krishna consciousness. Let's go to the movies. You don't want to do that Krishna consciousness. Let's smoke up. You don't want to go to back to Godhead. You want to be a player. This is what Maya does. Maya's business is to dangle lots of illusory carrots. Come on. But if you listen to Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, you say, get behind me, Satan. I am focused. I am determined to go back home, back to Godhead. And with that mentality, one chants like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Somebody who's not focused chants like this. So you have to find out for yourself, what kind of chanter are you? Are you focused, fired up? Let us proceed to text numbers 42 and 43. Together. Yam imang pushpatang vachang pravadantya vipaschita vedavada rataparta nanyat astiti vadanaha kamatmana svargapara janma karma phalapradam kriya vishesha bahulang bogaishvarya gating prati. Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power, and so forth, being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. So these are the persons who are not focused on going back to Godhead. These persons find many attractive things about this material world. Yes, and there is. There is lots of allurements here in this material world. All right, notice the word flowery words. Yes, you can find in descriptions fantastic descriptions. For instance, in the heavenly planets, the women in the winter, their bodies are warm to touch. In summer, the women of the heavenly planets, their bodies are cool. So somebody who is very sensuous is thinking, I don't find that kind of girl here in Los Angeles. I want to experience this kind of cool and warm woman. Let me go. Then you will see descriptions, just like our streets here. They're made of asphalt, concrete, yes? But in the heavenly planets, the streets are made of rubies, diamonds, gems. You get the idea? There is a description by Krishna that when you go to the heavenly planets, you have your own airplane. Just like Obama. President Obama's got his Air Force One, right? So when you get to go to the heavenly planets, you get your own airplane. Not these tin machines. Airplanes that are much more conducive for enjoyment. And Krishna says that you have your female followers, I chant your glories. Yes. Oh, Oscar, you're wonderful. They're singing and glorifying you while you sit in this airplane, relaxed, enjoying, flying through the heavenly planets. Yes, there is lots to be done. It is said, human body, it's like not too good, not too bad. Right? Sometimes you wake up, especially as you get older. Right? In a human body, you don't always feel good. Am I right? Ladies know that better than anybody, right? You wake up some days you feel good, some days. But when you have a heavenly body, you always feel jubilant. Very attractive. You always feel jubilant. So you could see that there might be someone who likes this kind of this. And such persons, if they buy into this, they think this is the purpose of religion. Many people think like this. Many people think the purpose of religion is simply to enjoy a better material life. Many people, not in all religions, you will find a class of people, they're very religious. They're gung-ho about their religion. But what is their real thing? They like their religion because it makes them very materially opulent. So they say that's the purpose of religion, just to do better. Now let's proceed. Text number 44. This was the verse I was referring to previously. Let's chant verse number 44. Bhogaishvaya prasaktanam taya paritta chetasam vyavasayatmika buddhi samadhauna vadhiyate. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. So, this coincides with what Krishna said a few verses ago, that when you are on this path of going back to Godhead, you're resolute, you're focused. Now Krishna explains what is the cause of why someone is not focused. And even if you have already decided to be focused, sometimes you realize you're not so focused. Here is the reason why. Once you start to indulge in sense enjoyment, once you start to increase your material opulence, you're going to lose your determination. That's why, in order to go back home, back to Godhead, there has to be austerities and penance. Because without austerities and penance, you won't have the determination. An athlete, an Olympian, has to deny him or herself lots of things in order to get their body fit. They have to really work on controlling their mind and body. So what to speak of going back to Godhead? That is the ultimate Olympics to achieve full liberation, going back to Godhead. So there must be austerities and penance. That is why in this movement, if you want to be a serious practitioner, you make four vows. No more eating meat, fish, eggs. No intoxication. No illicit sex. No gambling. If someone agrees to follow these four vows, you will have sufficient determination and strength to achieve the ultimate goal. But if you're slack on these, if you're not enthusiastic, you will find that your determination starts to wane. So if you notice, as you go on, and you're noticing you don't have so much determination, now you know the root cause. Sense enjoyment and material opulence. Let us continue. Text number 45. Trigunya vishaya veda nishtrigunyo bhavarjuna nirdvanvo nityasatvasto niryoga kshema atmavan. The Vedas deal mainly with the subject of the three modes of material nature. O Arjuna, become transcendental to these three modes. Be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the self. So here Krishna has introduced a new topic, the modes of nature. This will be discussed in chapter 14. For now, the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Uddhava Gita, Krishna recommends to Uddhava, the mode of ignorance, despise it, detest it. The mode of passion, be indifferent. Mode of goodness, promote. Those four principles that I mentioned, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling, that's the mode of goodness. That means pretty much you're free from sin. Because these four things are called the four pillars of the house of sin. There's a roof. The roof can only exist as long as there are four pillars. You knock down the pillars, the roof comes crashing down. These four items are the pillars of the house of sin. So, the mode of goodness, and you should learn more and more about the mode of goodness, is explained in chapters 14, 17, and 18 of Bhagavad Gita. Because the modes of nature govern every aspect of life. There is eating in the modes of nature. There's working in the modes of nature. There is endeavoring, intelligence. There's everything in this material world can be categorized as different permutations and combinations of the modes of nature. We should strive to be as far as possible in this mode of goodness. But notice, Krishna said, you should be transcendental, actually. You should rise above the modes. That's the real idea. Why did I now emphasize the mode of goodness? Because the mode of goodness is a springboard to get to the transcendental stage. To jump to the transcendental stage, not so fast, not so easy. Because you're in the modes. You think you can just, all right, I transcend. No. You have to work at transcending. That is why you remain in the mode of goodness. Now from the mode of goodness, it's easy to transcend, to jump off. That's the idea. That's why if somebody is not agreeable to following these four regulative principles, they're going to find chanting a little difficult. Just as difficult as you're trying to light a fire and at the same time you're pouring water on it. You'll be there all day. In order to light a fire, you need dry wood. So similarly, in order to execute hearing and chanting properly, you should keep yourself in the mode of goodness, strictly following those four principles. Krishna said here in this verse, be established in the self. That is what he described in the 20 verses in chapter 2. What is the self? Not what you see in the mirror. No. The self is the real you, the soul, the eternal living being. That is how you should be situated. Let's go to text number 46. Yavan artha utapane sarvatak sampluto deke tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijanataha. All purposes served by a small well can at once be served by a great reservoir of water. Similarly, all the purposes of the Vedas can be served to one who who knows the purpose behind them. So Krishna has given a nice analogy. Those who have spent time in India, especially olden days, they can very much relate to this idea that Krishna is giving. In India, they have wells for drinking, wells for washing, right, Lilopala? But if you go to a great reservoir of water, you can finish all your business one place. So Krishna here is saying, if you know the actual purpose of the Vedas, everything can be taken care of. So later on in chapter 15, Krishna will answer this question. What is the purpose of the Vedas? What is the purpose of religion? What is the purpose of life? This is answered by Krishna in chapter 15. Vedaischa sarvair aham eva vedya vedanta krid vedavid eva chaham. The proof that one has actually studied the Vedas, the scriptures, is that one comes to understand that Krishna is God. What is the purpose of religion? The purpose of religion is to love God. Gee, that reminds me of a great Jesus Christ who said, love God with your whole soul, your whole heart, your whole mind. Yes, what Jesus said, that is the goal of religion. The purpose of life, besides what I said earlier about becoming free from this material world, after you have become free, after you've gone back home, back to Godhead, then you want to develop your love, your service to God, to Krishna. So the purpose of life is to understand, what am I meant to be doing for eternity? Right now we are doing so many things, acting as husbands and wives, and so many things, but this is not what we're meant for. We actually have an original purpose, an original service with Krishna. And once you go back home, back to Godhead, you will be reawakened to what you are meant to do for eternity. And that is the impetus to hear and chant with one pointed attention. I want to discover as soon as possible what I am meant to be doing for eternity. Therefore, we chant very, very determinedly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Let us continue. Text 47. Karmanyevadikaraste ma paleshu kadachana ma karma phalahetur bhur ma te sango stokarmani. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. Never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities, and never be attached to not doing your duty. So this is something I have been speaking a lot about lately. Everybody has duty. There are men duties, women duties, children duties, father duties, mother duties. Everybody has duties. So here Krishna is pointing out, yes, you should perform your prescribed duty. In the beginning of this Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was reluctant to perform his prescribed duty. And because he was reluctant to do his prescribed duty, he was lamenting. But he had enough sense to understand that he didn't know what he should be doing at this moment. And so he turned to Krishna to solve his dilemma. So here Krishna is saying, you have a prescribed duty, you have a right to do that. But you're not entitled to the fruits. This is the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness means I do my duty regardless of the outcome, regardless of how I feel. I do my duty only because it ought to be done. I'm not doing my duty because I'm going to get something out of it. No. I do my duty only because that is what I'm supposed to do. Success or failure, that's up to Krishna. Happiness and distress, that's not my concern. In Arjuna's case, victory or defeat, it's not his concern. His concern should only be, what is my duty? When Maharaj Parikshit was informed that he was cursed to die within 7 days, Maharaj Parikshit immediately asked the Brahmanas, what is my duty? He wasn't worried about his bucket list. Oh, I got 7 days. I got to go here. I got to go there. I got to do this. No. Parikshit's statement was, what is my duty now that I'm going to die? Now he says, never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities. In other words, you're not doing these things for your own personal agenda. You're doing them to please God. Say, for instance, my duty right now is to give this class on Bhagavad Gita. So I am to give this class on Bhagavad Gita not for my own personal agenda, but I am to do this class to please my spiritual master and Krishna. Whether people like it or not should not be my concern. Whether there's 100 people in the room or one person shouldn't matter. My duty is to repeat the message of my spiritual master and Krishna. That's all. Everything else that comes after it, I'm not entitled to it. And worse, never be attached to not doing your duty. No. In fact, we will find in this Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will more than once say, better to die doing your prescribed duty than not doing it. Let us continue. Text number 48. Yogastha kuru karmani sangam chakva dananjaya siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva samatvang yoga uchyate. Perform your duty equipoised, O Arjuna, abandoning all attachment to success or failure. Such equanimity is called yoga. So, many people have so many different definitions of what is yoga. Here in this Bhagavad Gita, you will read many definitions, but here's one. When you have equanimity of mind, you're in yoga. Yoga means to link with God. So, one item is to be equipoised. As he says here, don't be attached to success or failure. Again, I'm going to see it in terms of my prescribed duty. I'm giving this class. Sometimes people like it. Sometimes people don't like it. It should not disturb me. I should not be attached to success or failure. Let's go now to text number 49. Durena hi avarang karma buddhi yoga dananjaya buddhau sharanam anvichcha kripana falahetava. O Dananjay, keep all abominable activities far distant by devotional service. And in that consciousness, surrender unto the Lord. Those who want to enjoy the fruits of their work are misers. So this verse is very, very succinct and complete. Notice he says, keep all abominable activities far distant by devotional service. Therefore, another way to say this, the best defense is a good offense. In other words, if you're worried about sinful activities, abominable activities, that is impossible for you to perform if you're always doing devotional activities. So you don't have to worry, oh, did I commit it? No. Just always be engaged in devotional activities, you'll be free from sinful reaction. And, how should I say, the default code, always be hearing and chanting. If you're always hearing and chanting, the devil can't touch you. So that's why Lord Chaitanya says, Kirtaniya Sada. Always be chanting. Lord Chaitanya, when he would eat, this is how he would eat. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare. He would chant in between bites. Not so easy to do, but it illustrates the point. When I was Lopala knows, when we were in Brooklyn Temple back in 73, 74, do you remember Kapindra Das? So, in the evening, those days, the devotees would have hot milk at night. So sometimes the milk would spill on the floor. This Kapindra Das would get down on his hands and knees, and while licking up the spilt milk, he would chant verses. So, he understood this point, to be always engaged in hearing and chanting. Let's chant, everybody, one time. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So if you want to do devotional activities nonstop, then you have to surrender to the Lord and not be thinking about trying to enjoy the fruits of your work. Let's go now to text number 50. Please chant along. Buddhi yukto jahatiha ube sukrita duskrite tasmad yogaya yujasva yoga karmasu kaushalam.
Well, I am not worthy. You're very kind.
Jai, whenever you get a garland, two things you can think. When you get a garland, that means Guru and Krishna are blessing you. And the other thing you should think, I learned this from one of my godbrothers, the garland is taking out of your body all kinds of inauspicious things. So whoever wants the garland after class, if you want to get inauspicious things, the first one to ask me will get the garland. Don't fight for it now. All right, text number 50. A man in devotional service rids himself of both good and bad actions, even in this life. Therefore, strive for yoga, which is the art of all work. So notice, by performing devotional service, you rid yourself of both good and bad, because good and bad here means in terms of the material world. Devotional service is purely good, so that's not what it's referring to. When it says rid yourself of good and bad actions, it means you rid yourself of any kind of good material reaction which you would have to take another material birth to enjoy. Now, we already said at the very beginning, the goal is not to come back again into this material world, but to go to the kingdom of God. So definitely, you don't want to have to come back in another material body just to enjoy your good results. You want them to be finished. That's what devotional service does. It gets rid of your bad account and your good account, settle it, and you go back home, back to Godhead, to be with Krishna. Let's do text number 51. Karmajang buddhiyuktahi falang jakva manishinaha janma bandha vinirmukta padang gachyantyanamayam. By thus engaging in devotional service to the Lord, great sages or devotees free themselves from the results of work in the material world. In this way, they become free from the cycle of birth and death and attain that state beyond all miseries by going back to Godhead. So this verse has been pretty much the sum and substance of everything I've been saying tonight. So we could consider this 51st verse as the, at least in terms of what I've been emphasizing, as the mission statement. By engaging in devotional service, you free yourself, you no longer in the cycle of birth and death, and you go to that state beyond all miseries. You go back to Godhead. Let's finish up. We have, I think, two more verses to finish this section. Yada te moha kalilang buddhir vittarashyati tada gandasi nirvedang sruktavyasya srutasya cha. When your intelligence has passed out of the dense forest of delusion, you shall become indifferent to all that has been heard and all that is to be heard. I was mentioning this before. When you're not resolute in purpose, what does Maya come? Maya says, come on, we can do this. We can go here. We can do this. Right? But when you are fixed, you don't pay attention. Just like, I'll give you a practical example. The day, it was July 15th, 1973, is the day I moved and joined the temple in Brooklyn. And I had a friend, a musician friend, drive me from my house to the temple. So that was a good 40-minute drive. And all the way in the car, what was my so-called friend doing? Trying to convince me not to join the temple. So I had to listen to 108 different arguments why I should not join the temple. But my mind and intelligence had passed out of the dense forest of New York. And I had become indifferent to anything he was trying to tell me. Come on, we can go. We can make it in the music industry. We can go for it. No. I wanted to join the temple. And I remember I had my suitcase and I got out of the car. I walked up the stairs and the devotees let me in. It was a Sunday. And I remember as I got into the temple, I said, "Oh, it felt so good to be saved by Prabhupada and the devotees." July 15, 1973. Best decision I ever made in my life. Let's do one more verse and we'll finish up this statement. Shruti vipratipanate yadastasyati nischala samadavachala buddhis tadayogam avapsyasi. When your mind is no longer disturbed by the flowery language of the Vedas, and when it remains fixed in the trance of self-realization, then you will have attained the divine consciousness. So, some things were repeated in this section, but hopefully you got one thing out of tonight. If you got even one thing out of tonight, then this class was a success for me. Mahanta-san, shall we chant together? Mahanta-sa is one of the greatest Madanga players, and he is a great devotee of Lord Jagannath. And every year, he looks forward to the Rath Yatra. For 2 weeks, he is in samadhi, meditating. He has his service. How many years you've been doing that service? 28 years he's been doing this service to Lord Jagannath. And it's not easy. It's a hard, hard, very, very lots of manual labor, but that's his ecstasy. Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari, Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari, Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hare Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Hari Gopala Hari Gopala Hari Govinda Hari Govinda Gopala Gopala Govinda Govinda Hari Gopala Hari Govinda Hari Gopala Hari
So, Krishna told me to give the garland to you. You brought me the tea, so you get the garland. Does anybody have a question they would like me to tackle? Any questions?